Welcome back to my turn with Jackie and Danny and our new mics.
Professionals. I mean, I'm just over here bossing up. I don't know about you.
Honestly, I've got a ring light. I've got a microphone. I'm sitting in a desk chair. I feel fabulous. Oh, wait, you can totally see the light in the camera. Listeners, if only you knew what a journey this was yesterday. Danny, how long ago did we get these microphones, would you say?
I think we got these microphones October.
Yep. And I opened the box last week. And
It in our
you.
last episode because I had to figure I knew I had to figure it out to be able to help you.
She's such a good friend. She's such a good friend. And then I took it out of the box that night. And then after we recorded, and then I was like, you know what? We're gonna get this set for today. And I put it on yesterday. I probably had about 20 minutes to spare, and I spent double that trying to figure it out. And last night I realized that I hadn't pressed the on button.
Ruh-roh.
Ruh-uh.
Who also discovered that?
My sweet husband Matt discovered that I had not, they had also plugged in.
Wait, let me set the tone of this. You had it all plugged in. Jackie and I are, first of all, Jackie is trying to do this in like a truncated like 45 minutes before she's supposed to leave for Philadelphia, first of all. Secondly, she's like panic texting me, which was hilarious because she'd be like, oh, it's not working. It's where I got it. I got it. No, it's not working. It's where I got it. I got it. And then she's like, she gets back home and she's like, it's not working. Like, I don't know why it's working or why it's not working. And I was like, well, is the on button on? She's like, yeah, it's lit up. And all of a sudden, Matt has to save the day, presses a button. And so when she said that her button was lit up, it was red. So, yeah.
And Danny goes, green means go, red means stop. And I lost it. And then I also was laughing because the whole time as I was doing this, when I was panicked yesterday, because I was like, I have to leave. I have to go to Philadelphia. And I had a time crunch, but I was like, I can do this. And like, girl boss, too close to the sun. It did not go well. But I also, like, the whole time in my head, I just heard my grandfather, which my grandfather, his nickname was Tobacco Jack. And I just kept hearing Tobacco Jack going, Jackie, did you read the directions? That's what I heard. And I was like, nope, I did not, Grandpa. And so I read the directions and was even more utterly confused.
No, the directions are were terrible, and so I went rogue on the directions, and I have this whole other tech life that I love figuring things out like that. If you saw my desk right now, I not only have the sound mixer, the podcasting mic, but I have a huge like 5 terabyte hard drive. I have my mouse plugged into like this dongle that has multiple ports for USBs, USB-Cs. I also have my iPad next to me and my phone, and I feel like I'm living my best life. I don't know
She
why.
does it. She does it all, folks. Honestly, not just
Oh my gosh.
a physical therapist, not just a pretty face, but she knows how to set us all up for success. I took a picture of my setup, Danny. I encourage you to take one of yours.
Oh, I definitely will.
We will share on the socials, which we're having way too much fun with, and
So
hope
much
you're all
fun
enjoying
with.
it.
I mean, it just makes this even more real. Even though last week we just launched this, like, I learned how to randomly learn. I learned a new skill, uploading. There's a whole podcasting world. I'm trying not to delve into it too much because I still have to, like, see patients and run a business. But Full disclosure, you guys, Jackie and I last week were texting back and forth and we were like, all I want to do is podcast. Sorry for any of my patients who are listening. I do love you. I love spending time with you. I do. But I also think I love podcasting.
I know, that's why I felt I was like baking the cookies at LaVette, and I was like, I don't want to bake cookies. I just want a podcast. I love you,
Podcast all
LaVette.
day and all night. So, Jackie, how is life?
Life is great. Yesterday, I went to see Mamma Mia at my high school in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It was thrilling. It was wild to be back. I walked in, and to quote Norma Desmond from Sunset Boulevard, I was like, I don't know why I'm frightened. I know my way around here. And I felt like this star that had come back for her grand return. It was actually really
That
nice. It
is an amazing feeling. Ride that
was.
wave still.
It was really fun. And the show was fabulous. The program was alive and well. And it was really cool to see like so many students there supporting their friends. The teachers were there. The wonderful head of school was there for the second time, and she came up and said hello to me. Shout out to Mrs. Grace. She's amazing. And then who else? I saw some teachers, our old director. And then I
Whoa.
saw two girls from my class. And one of the girls, she was like, oh, me and so and so and so and so and so and so love your podcast. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is so cool.
Am
So,
I
am I famous? And I just felt very famous. So it was great. How are you, Danny? What's going on with you?
I feel like weekends are always a blur. I definitely work 6 days a week. So I still see patients all day Saturday, and then Sundays I think I die. Like I have been lately going to this boot camp with one of my dear, dear friends, Angie. Shout out to Angelina, and
Angelina.
who's also like my life mentor. We go to this boot camp at Atkins Army, so Army and NoHo, and I can pretty much keep up with it, but I die on Sundays. So, yes, Mark and I caught up on quite a few episodes of Virgin River. But right now, I will say the highlight of my week is this.
Literally, people are like, how are you? What's going on with you? And I'm like, I started a podcast and like it's actually doing pretty well. I was like, that's pretty
I will
amazing.
say it's. Oh, I'm you guys again. Thank you so much to everybody listening to us rant. The coolest thing has been getting to know you even more and like really solidify our friendship and just like so much love between us and then feeling that love and support. Oh, I want to give a couple shout outs. Actually, I lied. My other highlights were I FaceTimed with my in-laws. Shout out to Karen and Hugo Felito.
Yes.
And they listened to it and they were so encouraging and I just loved it so much. They're in their 70s and 80s, so it was really cool to be supported like that. I didn't you also texted me some really cool like DMs and comments. And then would you like to tell people what is happening on Friday?
Yes, on Friday, we are going to go live with our friend Jolynn, one of my friends. Jolynn taught me Intensati, this like amazing workout class back in like 2012. And she goes live on Instagram every Friday with people that are just like, lifting other women up. So that is my turn. And so we're going to go live with her on Friday.
And we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Yes.
And then we'll also remind you in the next episode. So basically, Jolynn, her Instagram live really aligns with what we're trying to do as well, with just giving a voice to people, giving them their turn. And she's gave us our turn, saw our podcast, and actually reached out to us. And like that was completely mind-blowing. I say mind blowing a lot. But you know what? It's good to have gratitude. And I like having my mind blown about the little things in life because we often think that we're taught now in society that you have to do a really big, great thing And that's what makes the world go round, but really all the little things add up to making the world go round.
Exactly. Even if 5 people had listened to this podcast, it would have been amazing. And now we've had like a
Yeah.
100+ like people listen, and that's just
And we
crazy.
can't wait to share other people's stories. We'll talk about, again, Victoria coming up. We'll talk about that at the end. And I want to talk about today's episode. So today we're actually going to delve in on a more serious note into our why we looking into w why we haven't taken our turns, and why we're choosing our path now and what that's looked like. And it's not an easy road to choose, but it's been really cool to have support of our friends. And who knew that when you actually put yourself out there, that people in our lives are saying, keep going, keep going. And that's exactly what we want to do for other people and what we're going to be doing soon. So
Yes.
the theme of the episode is, why do we shrink ourselves? Where do you think this comes from? I think we touched about that on this in the first episode, but where does this urge come from to shrink ourselves or almost make ourselves invisible? Like, is it from society? Is it from childhood, cultural expectations, all of the above?
I think it's all of the above. I think, first of all, as women, we're taught to shrink ourselves because, oh, like who knows why? It's almost for me, it feels more that there's a mixture of both things. There are people that are saying, yes, women, it's time, it's our chance to step up and do things. But there's also this feeling of, oh, but this is the place for a man to be. And this is what men are supposed to do. And there's no way that a woman can do that thing. There's no way that a woman can have a career, a family, do artistic endeavors. There's no way you can do it all. But men can.
Oh, I agree with that. I also think that in my personal experience, which we're each gonna be asking each other questions soon, but in my personal experience, when I worked in the corporate world and even now in the PT and healthcare fitness world, it is really seen as like when you are a male. And you put yourself out there and you're like, yeah, they're a go-getter. They're really going after what they are after, the grind. This is what grit is. And for a female or anyone who isn't a male, let's be inclusive here, it's more like, oh, that person just wants a lot of attention. Or me personally, the times that I've done that in the corporate world, it was, oh, she's such a B. Like she's mean, she's getting, but I literally was mirroring what my mentors who were males were like. And I got spoken to about my sternness, about, I think I was a little bit of an HR nightmare, to be honest. But I had taken the approach of like, let's go from A to B, no emotions, no nothing. And I was seen as like not compassionate. However, I was surrounded by a lot of other male counterparts where that didn't come up at all for them. And so I think that's a part of like society. I think in cultural expectations, I think I was a little bit lucky in that because I am Hawaiian Pacific Islander and also Italian. And like that really revolves around the matriarchy a lot of the time. And so I will say, thank you, mom and dad. I grew up with my husband and I always say I grew up with a lot of positive support, almost to where, like, when I was younger and I would do something that I thought was good, even though it was like a little teeny tiny thing, like in school or I held the door open, I'd be like, aren't you gonna thank me and tell me I'm good? But also, me shrinking myself, there's a sort of religious aspect as well. Wasn't sure how much I wanted to share personally about that, but I did have like a strong evangelical upbringing where, wives submit to their husbands and it was very traditional. I guess we'll leave it at that. There's so much I want to say about that. Maybe when I get the courage, we can talk about that. And but I would say culture played into it for me, society, and then along with religious aspect, being humble is a big thing. And you weren't considered humble if you were trying to, like, nowadays we have to brand ourselves and sell ourselves, but that wasn't necessarily in the 90s, 2000s. You know, you did things humbly, you just did them without expecting any accolades. But also, you weren't like, if nobody sees what you're doing and you're not speaking up for yourself, maybe nobody else will. And so it's like this constant battle of humility. And I had on here, like, what's the difference between humility and playing small? And I wanted to know your definition. I kind of came up with one that was like, humility is when you still finish the thing. You can represent yourself, but you don't have to be the loudest in the room about it. But you can, there's ways that you can now, like sending an email, you don't have to broadcast it everywhere. I would say that playing small often results in actually not finishing the thing, or it's associated with not celebrating the win. Number one, if you don't celebrate the win, I don't think you that the progress that you made, the new skills and whatever endeavor you've done, it doesn't sink in. So you've eliminated the process by not celebrating where you've arrived.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah, I agree. I think that for me, humility is a choice that one can make to, I love the idea of completing the deed and you finish the job and you do what the thing that you say you're going to do, but you choose to not broadcast in this big way or make it a big thing. But then playing small is not even attempting the thing because you think there's no way I can do that.
Oh, absolutely. And I would say playing small, I would equate that to when you have imposter syndrome and you give in to the imposter syndrome, and that prevents you from even starting an endeavor. It prevents you from growth. So, when was a moment you felt like you had to shrink? And then you finally, and it could be related or another moment that you finally felt like you stepped into your power, or you decided to really take up space.
Sure. I'll never forget this. I got a gig in 2016 at the Post Playhouse in Crawford, Nebraska. It was a five musical rep season, so we learned five shows in about we learned four shows in 3 weeks. Then we opened those three shows, then we learned the last show in 2 weeks, and then all of them were opened. And I was playing Morticia in the Addams Family. It was the second show to open, and I was really excited about it. And I remember we were getting ready for opening night, and I called my mom and I was like, I can't do this. Like, this is not there's no way that I can play the lead in this show. I never played the lead before. I was always the smaller characters. I would come in and do something funny and then leave. And all of a sudden, I was carrying this show, and I was supposed to be sexy and funny, and I was playing opposite this guy who was so unbelievably talented. And I was surrounded by all these really talented people, and I thought, "There's no way I can do it." And I just remember hearing her say, "Like, you're already doing it. Like, just take a deep breath and like step into that power." And so I just thought, I'm just going to forget the noise outside and just go and do it because one, I have to. Like, the show's opening tonight. I've got to be there.
No other choice.
Yeah, no other choice, which is helpful. It's helpful when you don't have a
Do or
choice to
die
do
is really
something.
helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, do or die is really helpful. You just have to rip the Band-Aid off and do it.
Yeah.
But oof, it was such a scary moment, and it happens all the time. I don't think I've ever gotten over it, honestly.
Well, like I said, I could never be a performer because I want to pass out at the thought of standing on a stage. And I think we make ourselves small in the most vulnerable moments. I mean, you open yourself up to a lot of opinions when you do that. And yet, I love how you said, I just decided to white out the noise and do my thing. And I think that's a strategy that we need to use because I think there's a difference of listening to something when it's actually fair criticism, when it's honest, and when it's something with the intention that'll help you grow. I think that's great. But you don't know these people, but you knew the material and you owned it.
Yeah. You have to just block out the noise. It's hard. It's because there is so much noise coming in from the sides, and I also am someone that likes to get approval from other people. And so it's nice to hear someone say, "Oh, you're so great. We love it." But then also you can hear all of these all your great things and then hear one negative critique, and like that's the thing that you
And that's
focus
the
on.
thing. I definitely have, I don't know if this resonates with anybody else who's listening, but with patients, I'm constantly, that's a vulnerable position for both them and myself. And I need to learn to pay attention more to what my patients are saying that I'm doing really well. Because I haven't, luckily, knock on wood, I haven't had anything horrific. But I will have these moments of like it will actually be of I won't lie, I have really great patients and it'll be like a fair critique of like, oh, I wish we would have done this during the session. And I note that for the next session, but I even something like that I take with me until I see them the next time. And then I'm like, I gotta get this thing done. I gotta get this thing done. But they had also told me all of the things that they felt were great. And I see a lot of complicated cases and diagnoses. And so it's a lot of body parts to work on. It's a lot of at patient education. And sometimes I have 90 minutes with them, and sometimes I only have an hour. And so it's, but I pay attention to the negative so much. And I mean, I remember that so often, even in sports. I, from my coaches, I can still remember things that it was like a negative, and they weren't necessarily helpful feedback, but that's what I remember. And sometimes they haunt me. So we definitely, again, this is to step into your own space means that you can white out and you're learning to differentiate the noise. So if it's an
Exactly.
alarming noise and it's not gonna, and it's just kind of annoying, like an alarm clock, just like snooze it, turn it off. But if it's something that's actually valuable and it's a voice that's really speaking to you, that is resonating with you, and sometimes the truth does hurt, listen to that. But I think what we do is we get pre-scared of doing something wrong or of making a bad decision or having an action that rubs somebody the wrong way. And I'm still learning this, but we aren't going to make everybody happy. And it really bothers me when somebody doesn't like me and then I still
I
try to be their
know.
best friend and oh, and I end up putting so much energy into it. It's ridiculous when I have the most amazing people around me that I could be putting energy into. And yeah, I think, well, I also shrink myself because I've cultivated this, it's not a disease, Danny, it's good empathy. And I now have this, like when I walk into a room, I know who the sad person is, or I can honestly feel if somebody doesn't like me when I step into the room. And it really bothers me. Like I feel like I can't let go of it and just l do what I want to do. I don't know if you've ever felt that way.
Oh, yes. I'm also a very empathetic person, and I can feel it. And I always want people to like me. And if someone doesn't like me, it just makes my skin crawl because I'm like, what can I
Too.
do to make them like me? And that's another time that you make yourself, I make myself smaller, is that I think, oh, let them do all the things that they want to do, and we'll just forget about me because
Exactly. Because
you're
they'll
in
be happier
charge.
and maybe they'll
Exactly.
notice that you're allowing them their space, but really they're like, I get to stomp all over you. And it's a lot of people who are very calm. Well, I don't want to say that. They're perceived as confident, but a lot of times I'm realizing in our adult life that it comes from their total insecurity. And then me catering to them comes from my own insecurity. And that's something that we have to face.
Yes. Oof, who would have thought?
I know. Well, who do you
Oh.
admire that shows up unapologetically?
Ooh. Who do I admire that shows up unapologetically?
Or who has inspired you to keep going in the direction of shining your light?
Yes. It's hard to choose just one, honestly. There are
Oh,
so many
name all
people
of them.
that I admire. There's just so many people. I
It
think
could
the
be
first per
recency bias.
yes, I think my first my the first person I would say is my sister-in-law, Dr. Amy Ostick. We're gonna hopefully have her on the podcast,
Future
future
guest.
guest in the she's amazing. She's a family practitioner in LA, and she was working in different hospitals and then decided to open up her own practice in in the area where they live. And she opened up a direct primary care business. And it's so funny, like people will say, like, oh, like that's not a good model for practicing medicine. And she'll just come back and be like, well, it does this and this and this. So that's what I'm gonna do. And I love it and I'm really proud of
Yes.
it. And she walks around with to in my from the way I perceive, she has such confidence. And I admire it so much. So she's the first person that comes to mind for me.
Oh my gosh. And how does that keep you going?
Well, I like to use her as a cheerleader for myself. And so
Yes.
I just love to chat with her. I love getting our, like, we get, have a call every couple of weeks or so. And just, she gives me such good nuggets of information and just
Dr.
really encourages.
Ostick, yeah, it's because she's paving the way. Like by her taking up space, it's like, oh, if she can do that and do it well and ignore the noise, we can do that too. Huge
Exactly.
fan over
And
here already.
exactly. And it feels like she because she's so close to home, because she's my sister-in-law, it's like, oh, if she can do it, I can do it. You know? So, but then I also have to, on the other hand, talking about what we were talking about before too. Someone's like, oh my gosh, no, I'm not cool enough. Like she's so
Oh,
cool.
yeah.
But it's like, okay, no, like I can do this. We all have the same hours in the day, right? There's always that joke. We have the same hours of the day as Beyonce. I have to
Yeah,
remind
but she
myself.
has like how many assistants? So,
Exactly. But Amy, you know, it's we I can do it too. And so,
you definitely can do it.
yeah. What about you?
Man. I was trying to think really quickly while I asked you. I was like, oh, I asked Jackie that question, but I was trying to listen to your answer, and then now I have to think about it. Okay, so recency bias. I have a colleague who is pretty much I refer to her as the GOAT on the West Coast. Her name's Heather DeMercy, and she is a PT in Los Angeles area, owns her own practice. And her and I have just been going back and forth about kind of like this, like we've seen men putting their stuff out there, like Dr. Peter Attia. Also, there's a lot of PT and health is really tough because number one, they revolve it around men. And number two, there's so much ego in the game, particularly when you get to like athletics, professional. The ego and the insecurity causes people to be the loudest, but not necessarily the smartest in the room. And she has quietly built this practice. She used to have a podcast, and now I'm telling her to bring it back. Heather, if you can hear me, bring it back. She also, as soon as I didn't even tell her we were going to launch this, and I get this DM from her that was like, "This is so awesome. I can't wait to listen to it." And then, if that wasn't cool enough, she was like, "I also had a crush on Kevin in the Backstreet Boys." And I was like, I just entered kids club, you guys. But the reason this is so recent is because I think research is great. I think we also get lost in that research comes from an idea and then it's explored. So in the PT world, a lot of people become so evidence-based that they don't focus on the patient in the room. And they're like, well, if this, then this. And also, people always ask me, oh, what's your niche? What's your specialty? And her and I also think that, like, so many doctors have become so niche and so specialized, even in PT, that they aren't treating the whole body and looking at the person. They're looking at a hole in a person, but then they're not looking at the person holistically. And she posted something, which I'm totally going to steal later on this and capitalize on this idea. Sorry, Heather, but also join me. Specialization can stifle creativity. And I believe that in medicine and in healthcare, a lot of times we've lost the art of it. And so I definitely say that we stand on the shoulders of giants who've come before us and done the research, and we know what works. But science is always evolving and changing. And I like being a part of that and trying something just like your sister-in-law that maybe isn't completely vetted, but the idea is there. And I can create a case study if I try it. And why would I deny my patient that when I think that there's something that actually m can help this person, and this person falls outside of the demographics that X, Y, and Z has been researched on. And so Heather is just, I mean, number one, she's just been such an encouragement to me too. She's forged ahead, is a little bit younger than us, has two kids, and is just owns her own practice, but two locations. And we also, she's just so reliable that we can refer back and forth. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to refer patients to Heather when they're on the West Coast. And then all of a sudden she's like, hey, I want to refer back to you. And I was like, the goat is referring to me. And so with this podcast, with posting, she's just been like, step into your own, step into your own. She was a div I don't think I was as I'm as cool as her. She was like a Division One swimmer who was just so awesome in knowing the body, knowing mechanics, is brilliant, and also paving the way for female PTs who are like, you know what, I know this material, I know my anatomy, I am willing to look at my whole patient, and I can run a business while being a mother. So she can do it all. So I just, you know, thank you, Heather, for number one, inspiring me, number two, living unapologetically, and number three, for championing me to live unapologetically. And I just want to throw in there, and this might get a little bit sappy, but Jackie, honestly, I just admire that you show up in every little thing that you do. I've seen you go to work when you've had a tough day. I have seen you get up and go to a 7 a.m. class, and it takes you like an hour and how long to get to the exercise class that's at 6 or 7 in the morning. You have gone on this like health journey with fitness, and not only has it improved your fitness, it's given you so much more confidence, and you stayed that journey. And again, fitness classes are scary. I don't like going to them myself, but you broke through that noise and that barrier of inaccessibility and that you have to be perfect in order to go to this class. And neither of us were, and we made it fun and we made it our own and ignored a lot of the noise. And I feel like you gave me that venue also.
Oh, Danny. Oh my gosh.
Don't get tears
I'm
on
gonna
the
get
new
tears.
microphone.
I Right. Well, I feel, I mean, I remember when we started, it was like December of last year when we were in that class together. And I was like,
Yeah.
oh my gosh, Dani Luna talked to me. And I was like, oh wow, she wanted to help me with my box jumps. And I just was so grateful. And I was like, oh, I have a new friend and she's like fierce and amazing. And, you know, I just love you so much. And I really admire you and all that you've been able to do. And you keep doing everything that you want to do and staying your path and forging ahead despite a lot of roadblocks. And it's just amazing. And I'm just very grateful to be your friend and grateful that you wanted to do this with me. Like, I feel like the luckiest girl in the world,
Oh my
honestly.
gosh. Jackie, we put on makeup before this just for the reels that we will be doing
Right,
at
literally. I just wanted to look sort of pretty.
But lastly, isn't it crazy our perceptions of if we sort of have been in the circle before? And like, I standing next to you, I was like, I know who Jackie is. She's been like at the limit forever. Like, I was like, oh my God, she's standing in the kids' corner. Do I induct her? Do I not induct her? Does she know about the kids' corner? I was like, you know, so our perceptions are so funny. And we just need to get out of our own ways. So, wow, we're
Wow,
taking up space.
this was deep. This was
The
deep.
last thing I want to talk about it for our my turn moment for right now before we get to all things NYC is do you ever feel guilty about taking up space? Because I feel like I struggle with that.
All the time. All the time. I felt guilty even telling people about this podcast, honestly. I thought there's, I mean, it was kind of helpful just to put it on Instagram. It was like, I thought,
Yeah.
okay, we'll just put it on there and then we can just share them there and like that'll feel less crazy. But I remember someone said to me, oh, Jackie, you have a podcast? I didn't know. And I thought, you know, I'm not gonna say anything because that's bragging too much, or it doesn't really matter. It's just a fun little side project, but it's something that's exciting and it's something new that's happened that I'm proud of. And so it's always hard to take that step.
Yeah, it really is because, you know, we were joking, are we famous? And I felt like a little bit guilty about that. But then at the same time, the only reason we feel this amazingness is because of our support that we've had thus far. And I think a couple of things that help me about feeling guilty is number one, to remember that there's room for everybody. And number two, that again, we need to celebrate, and we don't have to have it being an ongoing celebration, but you can also have just a few people that you are like, I feel safe. Can I give a celebration? And we had that for a while, with our little kids corner we have, which we should revive again. Get ready for a text, guys. The kids corner, text message group where like it had nothing to do with working out, and we would be like, hey guys, today I did blah, blah, blah. Or like, I have an audition, or I'm running a 10K, or, you know, and we were just celebrating each other. And it was really cool. And I think really knowing your people and really identifying who's in your tribe can help with that guilt, because that guilt is also a feeling. And again, it stems from so many things, childhood, culture, you know, religion, society. So yeah, I'll celebrate with you any day.
Let's celebrate.
All right. All things NYC.
Oh,
So
man.
what's up in our city? First of all, I'm gonna reorder the agenda because I think this question's funny. What do you think is the biggest scam that everyone in New York City just accepts? Like, $20 martinis. Like, it's just $20, but yeah, guys, we're gonna have two and spend $40 more than our meal. But it's accepted.
Exactly. We just accept it. I also, honestly, the tap and go of the subway, because now you used to be able to buy a MetroCard when I first moved to New York, and now you can still buy MetroCard, but they're trying to phase it out, and like you can just use your actual physical card and tap the screen, and then
Or
it
your
lets you go
Apple Pay.
through.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Apple Pay, whatever it is. And it was like, oh, if you do 12 rides, you get the 13th one free. And you're like, oh
Oh,
wow,
yeah,
like
in 7 days.
that's a win. It's a 7 days and it's gonna
Yeah.
work. And it's like, that takes a long time. That's a lot of rides to
Oh,
really
it's
get.
a, and it has to be within 7 days. And we just
Yes.
like accept this. So if you use your phone, we just have to accept that like this is the only way to get that discount. Also, I feel like there were times where I definitely could have walked to the place that I was going, and I would have had I had to reload my Metro card. And now I'm like, tap, tap. And it's like two stops
Yes.
away. And I'm like, I could have taken the 20 minutes, and it probably took me 15 because I waited for
You wait for the
the
train.
metro. And then, yeah. I would also say waiting time, standing in line.
Yes.
I will stand in line. I'm okay with it. I stood in line for, sadly, the what was it called? The Cronut when that came out
Oh,
in like
that was a huge deal.
2012. So it's like the croissant donut. And when that came out, I stood in line for 45 minutes or an hour, and you could only buy one at that time. And this is where I do have a little bit of guilt. I stood in line, I got my Cronut. I turned around and I sold the Cronut for like $25.
No, you did.
Never ate the Cronut, by the way, guys.
Oh my
But
gosh.
there's also been times where like I'm like, oh, I think that this line is for like Magnolia Bakery or something. Nope, somebody was on their cell phone, somebody lined up behind them, or they were smoking, and like we just formed this line to nowhere.
Oh,
So I think I just like accept lines.
that's funny. Well, it's, you know what makes me laugh is that I work at Levin Bakery, and we generally have a line outside of our store. And I remember when we were opening up one on the Upper East Side, I was at like the pre-opening, and this woman came up and she goes, "Ugh, I never wait in line. New Yorkers don't really wait in line, and yet they're all in line." Just last week, I was giving a tour down in Nolita, and I'm walking along Houston Street to go back to Mulberry, and there's this huge line that's running all the way down and around the corner. And I was like, what is everybody waiting for? And it was like the second day that this was happening. And one of the girls on my tour was like, oh, it was for a Prada giveaway or something.
Oh my
Everybody was
gosh.
gonna get like a photo booth photo. And
Oh,
I thought, what?
yeah.
It was a huge pop-up that people were waiting for hours. And it made me laugh because I'm like, people always say, like, we don't wait in line, yet everybody waits in line.
Yeah, we wait in line. We just don't want to admit it. So, lines, MetroCard, $20
Yep.
martinis.
Can I share one funny line story
Yes.
that just came through my head? Okay, so this is one of my favorite memories. When I first started working at Levin, one of my favorite things in the summer is Shakespeare in the Park, which is free at the Delacorte Theater in Central Park. It's amazing, and it's free. The tickets are free. So the only caveat is that you have to either win the lottery that's online, or you physically go to the Delacorte and you wait in line. And it's actually really fun. You show up in the morning, go get your coffee, bring a blanket, bring a book. You sit outside. There's this guy that's always playing his saxophone, walking up and down the line, and it's really sweet. And he's there every year. But the one year when I first started at Levin, I could either, with my schedule that week, I could either wait in line and not see the show, or only see the show but not wait in line. And there was a girl that I was working with, and she was like, oh, like I wish I she's like she goes, I love waiting in the line. Like I wish I could do it, like I would do it for you. And she's like, why don't you ask so and so? Because we had this 16-year-old kid working with us. So I was like, hey, dude, if I gave you $50, would you go and wait in line for me? And I said, and I'll buy you breakfast. And he was like, sure. And I remember calling my mom being like, Mom, is this like child labor? Am I breaking any child labor laws? She's like, no, that's gonna be the easiest $50 he ever made in his life. And then it was sweet. He and his mom like went together because he was
Oh my
60.
gosh,
And so
yeah.
she got tickets and he got tickets. And then like I went with their whole family to see it. It was so funny. And the show was so good. So it was well worth it. But it
Oh
made me
my
laugh. I'm
God.
like, I paid some 16-year-old to sit in line for me.
They have people that do that now.
They
Like
do.
all of those crazy sample sales. I live by a sample sale place, and across the street from me was like a Diptyque, like that
Yes.
candle. That really expensive, like you buy a small candle and it's like $80 and it has like 1 hour of burning or something. They
Crazy.
pay people who set up their chairs, and like these people have their signs outside that say like, call me, I'm like a professional like line waiter. And so they advertise themselves while they're sitting with like blankets, their iPad and things. And sometimes I'm like, should I just like do that?
I would do that, hands down.
So, yeah, that could be a really funny side hustle. And
Literally.
speaking of, I have to tell this story again. The whole line thing is such a New York thing. My husband, so I made a point of it to go to the Thanksgiving parade. I always watch it on
Yes.
TV. So in 2012, I went with my best friend, Abby, and then again, I went in 2013. And then in 2014 or 15, I brought my husband, and every year I did not care how cold it was. We brought chairs and we were there at like 4:45 in the same spot.
Oh,
And like, I thought it was so fun. I like downloaded movies to the iPad. My husband was so sweet, but like, he got the worst like mix of a cold and a flu. That year it was like so cold. And then it was like sleet rain and then snowing. And we got back home and he was like, I can't get warm. By the way, the parade didn't start till like 9 and we were there at like 4:45.
oh my gosh.
And he's like, I can't get warm. I'm so cold. And he's like shaking. We're piling him in blankets. And I was like, oh my God, what is wrong with him? All of a sudden he starts breaking out into a fever. Then he's like coughing. And I was totally just like, I
Oh
wasn't listening to him when we were out there. Yeah, that gave my husband a cold, but it was worth it because that year was awesome.
Yes. You had to see the
Also, I was
parade.
like really excited because I was really into the show. Don't hate me for it, Duck Dynasty. I just thought it was fascinating, like
Yes.
culturally. And
Yes.
they were in the parade. I think it was that year. I could be mixing up years, but at now we wouldn't go near the parade. But that standing in line, and my husband was like, "Oh my God!" So that
Oh,
was our
that's
fun segment
hilarious.
on New York City lines or what's up in New York City.
Yes.
So I want to recap how to start taking up space and how to recognize when we're shrinking ourselves. So, when you hear that voice, I think we'll start out with once you hear that imposter syndrome voice, that's when you can choose. You can choose to say, like, I'm going to listen to this or identify it as imposter syndrome and then try to quiet the noise, breathing. Also, I came up with this pre-apologizing. We talked about this, I think, in the first or the second episode. And we make ourselves small when we apologize for something or when we have the inkling to apologize, even though nothing was our fault. And when we're trying to make someone else comfortable, something can happen and we can both feel uncomfortable with the other party, but it doesn't necessarily mean to make them feel better that you need to apologize. Do you have any other signs of how to recognize when you're shrinking yourself?
Yes, I think I had a friend one time that said a good way to know that you're supposed to be doing something is if you feel like you want to throw up on your shoes. So if you feel like you want to throw up on your shoes, then that means take the step. Unless you have like that nagging feeling like, oh, this doesn't feel right. But
Yeah.
if there's a little bit of like, for me, if I know that I want to go to an audition or if I know that I want to try to get this gig, I'll think, does it give me that like fire feeling inside where I'm like, oh, this would be
Yeah.
really exciting. It's also really scary, but it's really exciting. And that means go
Because
and
both
do
can be
it.
true. You can be really excited and also be really nervous about it. And that the
Exactly.
nervousness is probably because you want it to go so well.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I guess recognizing it is recognizing these like feelings inside of us or antics that we do right before we choose shrinking ourselves. And then steps to confidently own your space. I wanted to highlight you because, as I talked about before, and you just being a boss lady and like heading into exercise, I've seen exercise and fitness give you a mental fortitude and confidence to do things. I feel like I am in tune with a whole other Jackie from like even a year ago. And I think also the key to that when I was thinking about you as the example is routine. And not in like routine's really helpful, drill it in, but more like make it a routine because that uncomfortability that you're feeling will soon become familiar and then it'll be your new norm.
Yes, 100%. And I would agree with that. I think it can be scary to try something new, go to a new class or take on a new project. But once you keep showing up, you'll get used to it and then it's a little easier and you'll start to feel a little more confident because you think, "Oh, I'm getting this. I'm getting this." It's not perfect, but it's not about it being perfect. It also helps when you're in a room that feels very safe, where everybody's
Exactly.
trying things, and that really helps.
Well, to put you on the spot, do you, for any future actors or people who are in the performing space, do you have anything that you practice or that you've done when your nerves become a lot for like an audition or right before you go out and do a show? Anything like what do you do for
I have
you?
to really sit down and breathe and calm my nervous system down, especially before an audition can be a really scary time. And because you're like, I have to, there's so much pressure that I put on myself because it's like, oh, I want to get the job. So I gotta go in and I have to wow them. And that's a lot of pressure for
Yeah.
literally 1 minute of your time because that's how long it goes. And you think, I can't believe I worked myself up into a tizzy for just that. So I always like to breathe, put my hands in my heart, feel it there, feel myself breathe, feel the warmth of my hand on my heart. I also, my voice teacher gave me a great tip where you close your eyes and you hear what you're hearing, you smell what you're smelling. It kind of helps keep you
Go through the
grounded.
five senses. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like five things that you hear, four things that you see. I could be mixing those up. Three things that you smell, two or three things that you touch, two things that you smell, and one thing that you might be tasting.
Because it helps ground you, and you're all of a sudden
Yeah.
you're in your body, so that really helps.
Yeah. Some of the tips I've given my patients who are performers is that oftentimes when we get nervous, it's just like you said, we need to be grounded, which re-regulates us. So I'll give them breathing, like you said, but I'll have them do like box breathing. So
Oh,
inhaling
yes.
for four, holding for four, exhaling through the mouth for four, holding at the end for four. And just even going through three of those, the other thing that I tell them to do. Close your eyes, either sitting or standing, and squeeze every single muscle in your body. Squeeze, 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 and then let go. And take a deep breath in. So you've given yourself the input, you've squeezed your muscles, and there's something called autogenic inhibition. So like when you've squeezed a muscle or you've used it, it usually wants to relax afterwards. And so you start relaxing yourself even more. And then this is a kind of a cool trick, and maybe I can demonstrate it next time. A lot of people, when they get nervous, they can't get into their diaphragm. And so I give them a balloon. I have them stretch it
Ooh.
out. They inhale through their nose and they exhale all the way into the balloon. So the balloon starts blowing up. They hold the balloon either by blocking it with their tongue or pinching it. And then at the bottom of the exhale, you hold for 2 to 3 seconds. It's called suffering. I don't really like the term. But then you inhale through your nose, keeping the balloon blown up. And then you either unpinch it or unblock with your tongue and you blow it up a second time. So the balloon gets bigger and bigger. You do this 3 or 4 times. And then the resistance of the balloon is also giving your diaphragm feedback. And once you take it away and you just breathe normally and you start to vocally warm up, it actually uninhibits the diaphragm and your voice and your resonance increase. And that really helps to calm down the vagus nerve also, because you have like more of a feedback when you're breathing into something with resistance.
Oh my gosh. So that must be why straw phonation is really helpful in water, because
Straw phon exactly. Straw phonation is really good as well. I usually use that when somebody can't quite blow up a balloon. So we use that as like baby resistance, and there's straws that are like the boba straws that have a wider diameter, and then the regular smaller straws that have a, are smaller, same length, but smaller in diameter. And then the other thing that I suggest is humming, because what humming does is it sort of soothes and creates vibrations of the vagus nerve, which usually we're in a parasympathetic state, and then it brings you down. And or I mean, we're in a sympathetic, upregulated state, and then it brings us down into parasympathetic, which is like more of a rest and like you can think about things. But let it be known that with nervousness and when you're starting to doubt yourself, some of that anxiety or angst and some of that nerves is okay, because when you're in a sympathetic state and you're in control of that, you can get into a flow state, you can drop into your character, and you're intaking things. So we just want to make sure that we're not out of control in that sympathetic state. We want to make sure that we, instead of feeling like we're being hunted, that we are the hunter. So we
Oh,
still have
okay.
that acuity, but we can take in everything with our senses. So when somebody's, I don't hunt, but I'm assuming that if they're you're a predator, you still have like, you're not in a rest and digest. You're still using all of your senses. And so we still want to execute what we're doing.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, I got a lesson there. Thank
You're
you.
welcome. And I want to touch on the importance again of community. I think, so we always say it takes a village to raise a kid. But we're still growing up. And I feel like we're like, oh, that person's immature. They're not. I was a completely different person than when I was in high school.
Yes.
I hopefully am more regulated, but I'm completely different and we're still changing and we should strive to change. And so since we're still growing up, it's important that like our village is also raising us. You know? And so getting feedback from the people who are in our tribe and closest to us, we don't just want yes people around us either. We want people who are going to challenge our growth and also be like, you know what? That was a boundary, because kids have to learn boundaries too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on a sec.
So maybe we can practice when we're taking up space saying, I deserve to be here.
Yes, exactly. Can you hear me okay? I just lost my.
Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
great. Just want to make sure. Thank you.
Perfect. Beautiful. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I'm just kidding. I'm doing the commercial.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Mm-hmm.
So next tomorrow in our recording, we said that it was going to be our next one, but due to scheduling, we're going to have Queen Victoria.
Queen Victoria!
We're going to have her tomorrow, and then that episode will hopefully be airing on Thursday.
Can't wait.
But again, to recap her.
Yes, Victoria is a mom. She is an opera singer. She ran a solo marathon around New York City without anybody on the sidelines. And now she has also taken a step towards being her own a trainer as well. So she has fills many multitudes of different things in her life, and we can't wait to
And
hear from her.
we can't wait to hear about her journey. She has gone through some, speaking of growing, she's gone through this journey of like growth, understanding the body, her health, how it relates to being a classically trained vocalist, and also time management in a crazy city with children. So we can't wait to brag about our friend.
Yes, we're so excited.
All right. So thank you for joining us again.
Yes.
And
And we will.
remember, we all deserve to be here.
Yes, we all deserve to be here. Grab that mic and take up space.
We'll see you soon.
See you soon.